I have a really distinct memory of about this time a year ago. I came down to breakfast, sort of slightly bleary-eyed, and clicked on the radio while I was making the children's food. And the news article that was coming out of the radio said that a 17th person had died of coronavirus in Wuhan. And I remember really distinctly turning to Finn and saying, obviously, every life is precious to God, I get that, but why is this making global news? A 17th person has died on the other side of the world. And I will never forget the grim expression on his face as he said, no, this is bad news. We really need to pay attention to this. As a Christian, we try and live by faith and not by fear, of course. But there are times in our lives where we are called to sit up and to pay attention. God puts his finger on something really specific. We're called to wake up, to listen, and sometimes to act. That radio broadcast for me was one of those moments. And I believe that we are at another one of those points in history. As we consider the glorious garden of planet Earth that we have been given to enjoy and the impact that we're having on it. The passage that I just read from Colossians is insistent that God is over and in all of creation. Tonight, I want to look really briefly at two things. Firstly, why should we care? And secondly, what can we do? Firstly, why should we care? Well, one reason is that creation is perfect. God himself is whole and perfect, and he doesn't do imperfect things. All that he has created is beautiful and good. The world that we inhabit is perfectly balanced. There is enough to sustain us and to nourish us when we use this precious resource appropriately. There is the perfect balance of light and shade in the ecosystem. Everything about this world is finely tuned to live in perfect harmony with each other. Deuteronomy 8 says, "The Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates, olive oil and honey." The feast from this earth that we are given, that he has prepared for us, is glorious and bounteous. Again, when we use this resource as he intended. Take just one specific aspect of this creation. Look at a tree. It's quite easy living in Letchworth. We're very blessed. We have lots of them. A tree gives us both life and beauty. It gives us shade and rest. It gives us clean air. It holds back soil erosion. It gives us shelter. It can provide us with food and with protection. That's just one aspect of God's beautiful creation. We are evidence of God's perfect creation. Perhaps that's not how you view yourself, but I assure you it is absolutely true. The human body is beautiful and intricate. It is said that Charles Darwin himself was mystified by the makeup of a human eye. In The Origin of Species, he said, "The idea that something so flawless as the human eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I confess, absurd in the highest degree." Let's not forget, of course, that Darwin was a Christian. We should care for our creation because it inspires us to worship. I know that many of you, because you've told me, have been inspired to the worship of God by a breathtaking view, a stunning sunrise, something that has caught your eye, that makes you stop in your tracks and compelled you to worship him. He did that deliberately. He gives us those gifts so that we would turn our hearts towards him because we need that. We need that moment of worship. This is a beautiful dance between us and God, and we have a really important role to play. Yet the greed that we have is reaping devastating consequences on our earth. Paul's letter to the Colossians goes on to make it clear that one of the many tasks of man is to find our way to God. I find that the natural world really assists me in doing that be it getting out in the garden for a couple of hours or going skiing or being on the beach. It assists me in my connection to God. The beauty of this world speaks of his incredible glory. A perfectly formed snowflake reminds me of how perfectly he does things. And yet our misuse of this earth and its resources is putting a barrier between us and God, as the coral reefs that have taken thousands of years to form die out, and as rainforests burn to the ground, so our worship is dimmed as we see less of his glory. We need to care because God asks us to care. To care for this world is the very first command of God in Scripture. In the book of Genesis, we are called to tend for and to subdue the earth. We have a huge responsibility for God's beautiful creation. It was given for us, for our blessing, for our nurturing. Desmond Tutu said this: God asks us to be co-creators with God, to be those who promote flourishing, not promoting death. We are being warned that it may be that we have only a few years left before the changes we are affecting through our uncaring and ruthless exploitation of our natural resources become entirely irreversible. God wants us to live in paradise, but we are fast falling into a hell of our own making. Desmond Tutu is using really strong language there, but I believe he is doing so for good reason. We have gravely misused the gift that God has given us and ravaged it for our own ends. Concerns abound for oceans just choked with plastic, wildlife ingesting particles that will never degrade, that we have mass-produced because it was cheaper and more convenient. Our carbon emissions, the rapidly melting ice caps, these are not just political concerns. These are central to the Christian faith, as we are called to care for our world. The impact of climate change needs to be a primary concern for us as Christians, because not just the impact that it has on our air quality and our oceans and our wildlife, because of the impact it has on the poorest people in the world. They will be the ones that suffer the most as a result. At World Environment Day, an Icelandic bishop recounted how polar bears were drowning because there wasn't enough ice for them to stand on. It was too thin to sustain their weight. He recounted that there were whole communities that used to be in relationship that are now separated because they cannot ski to one another anymore. The ice is too thin for them to ski. A Pacific Islander shared how trees were dying as salt water began to flood the land. A West African lady said that desertification was ruining the pasture land in her area, and tribes that used to once live completely peaceably next door to each other were now daggers at dawn, at war with one another, fighting over limited pasture land as they desperately try to support their communities and their families. People who live on floodplains do so because they cannot afford to live anywhere else. Extreme weather conditions will impact the poorest people in the world before anyone else. It will be them that lose their homes and their livelihoods. So that's why we should care. Now, what can we do? Jesus tells us quite clearly that we must care for the poor. So Christians, we want to be leaders in the environmental movement. We want to be at the forefront of this, protecting the beautiful biodiversity that we've been given, and we stand to lose the food, the water, the fresh air, the staggering array of species that populate our beautiful earth. We are called to grow the kingdom of God, and this includes care for our world, God's great gift to us of earth, our dwelling place, our home for all of God's people. We need to be good stewards of this resource, God, the great giver of life, that we are rapidly stamping out. When Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians, he certainly didn't have climate change in mind, but he was very clear to highlight the beautiful mystery of creation and the role that we have in caring for it. Five really simple things that we can all do. Number one, we can eat all of the food that we buy. a staggering 20% of the food that we buy is thrown away. We need to review our shopping lists, to pull back a little bit, to buy less, to buy what we need only, and of course treats, but to consume everything that we buy. We need to reduce our meat and dairy intake. And I know some of you are absolute die-hard carnivores. Perhaps if you are, you could substitute one meal per week for a vegetarian or a plant-based option. And if you really can't face that, perhaps you could switch red meat for white. Even that makes a considerable difference. So firstly, we need to look at all the food that we're buying. Secondly, we need to avoid air freighted food. When you're in the supermarket or you're doing your shopping online, have a look at the labels. If your raspberries have come from Peru, they have had a massive environmental impact on their way here. Where possible, we need to buy locally and eat seasonally. We have all become so used to having tomatoes in December, and that is just not as nature intended it to be, and leaves us with a huge carbon footprint. Thirdly, and this one really is very, very easy, we can switch to a green energy tariff, and they are really competitive nowadays. There was a time when they did cost more, but they don't now. They're really competitive. Emissions from our home represent 25% of our average UK home carbon footprint. So we can switch to a provider that uses 100% renewable sources. There are loads of them out there. And of course, there's loads else we can do. We can insulate our homes better and look into all those things. Fourthly, we can look into flying less. 9% of the carbon emissions in the UK are on the basis of flights. We are all used to working from home now. Those of us who used to travel for conferences, I think we'll be using video conferencing more going forward. Where possible, taking trains or ships. And last year, we had a holiday in the UK instead because of lockdown. But actually, we would do that again now. It was fantastic. We went to Cornwall. Really recommend it. If you have to fly, for those of you that would ever look at going business class, that doubles the carbon footprint to flying economy. So something to keep in mind when you book. And lastly, if you are considering buying something new, just think for a moment before you do, could you swap this for something else? Could you get this secondhand? Could you borrow this item instead of buying new? You might be listening to all of this thinking, well, that sounds really rather inconvenient. And in all honesty, some of these switches will come really easily to some of you, but others will be a bit more of a self-sacrifice, a bit more challenging. But after all, this is a fundamental part of the Christian life. We are called to live not just for our own ends, but for the good and the flourishing of others. And the clock is ticking for the safety of the poorest people on earth and for the life of our planet. It is time to sit up and to pay attention. And I believe this is the Spirit of God. I believe he is calling us into action. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'm going to hand